And lo, Jesus was giving his Sermon on the Mount to the starving masses. And they said to him, "Jesus, we're hungry." And Jesus spoke to his 12 disciples and asked them to feed the multitudes. But they said, "All we have is 5 loaves and a couple of fish." So Jesus passed out the loaves and fish to the many, many people that had come to see him speak, and all the little children too. And then he said,
"The most loving thing you could do is to share your bread."
And now, it's time to get far out with Todd Perry.
I was forced the Viagra pill, and I'm making big boner for days.
Buck Perez.
Someone raped me for 3 days and then I got money out of it. That's a good weekend for me.
And from the rotating gang of Cigar Store Indians, Kira Hesser.
I'm not around guys who sit around and talk about boners a lot.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Far Out Podcast. My name is Todd Perry, and to the right of me is the great Buck Perez.
Hey, Todd, how we doing?
Left of me, once again, is Kira Hesser.
Hello.
And without further ado, we got another shout-out, so let's hit it. Yeah!
What?
Word.
Hey! This is a Far Out shout-out. This is to the chip, Buck.
Shout-out to Steph808 for a nice iTunes review. Share your bed.
Share your bed, bitches.
Party and bullshit. Party and bullshit. That was a shout out, bitches. To get up in this, email us at shoutout@faroutpodcast.com.
Once again, that was Steph808. I don't know exactly who this guy is, but he left a nice iTunes review, so he gets a shout out.
When I was reading it, I thought it was a chick. I had a girl in mind for
Steph. Me too, when you said Steph.
808.
Well, it's S-T-E-P-H, so it could
that's
be...
That's a girl.
Yeah, could be female.
Oh, Steven or something, you mean?
Yeah, Steven
or
could be
Stefan.
It.
Stefan.
They don't shorten it to S-T-E-P-H, though.
Yeah, they'll do Steve.
Steven, yeah. Right. Totally a girl, you guys.
That's what I'm talking.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, here
we
go.
Look at how things changed. Then you got to go back and redo the audio because you say to him.
Huh?
That when we did the shout out, you said Steph, you referred to as him.
We're not that consistent on shit.
You know, if they're going to be sexually ambiguous
all right.
In their reviews.
Okay.
And you know what?
Steph seems obviously a girl name to me, though.
Yeah. But what does it matter?
I guess it doesn't.
It's just gender.
You're right.
We're all just humans.
Sure.
We're all just going around this globe, just trying to make ends meet, trying to find a little love, a little money.
Just like the he-she stuff.
Just like the he-she stuff. Right, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are we recording?
Because we're not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
I thought we were in a part where we stopped it to do the...
You're totally blowing what we're doing here.
Jesus.
You're showing the man behind the curtain right now.
So sorry.
Has it gotten...
Where's Oz?
We're on our third show recording tonight.
Let's make her sing Wonderwall. All right, go ahead.
I got to be honest, it has gotten hotter since, I don't know whether it's the booze or...
It must be because I don't feel hot.
All right, Buck, you're up. Could you check the thermometer right now? That's there.
And for one, I'm not up. And I'm way far away from that shit.
Oscar's not
all
here.
Right.
All right, Buck is checking the thermometer in the garage because it is, you know, late August. And, okay, Buck's looking at the thermometer.
It's at least 85, almost 87.
It's 87 degrees. Okay. It's not so bad. I thought it was much hotter. It feels like 100.
Yeah, we're getting close to it.
Yeah, it's like, what do they say? You know, the wind chill, but it feels like the comedy chill factor. I was realizing the other day that there's also like a wind chill factor kind of thing with music where, you know, some songs are 4 minutes, but they feel like they're 12. Like,
fish songs?
Yeah.
No, those are 12 minutes and feel like they're 90.
Yeah,
like,
tedious music.
Yeah.
It was 21 Guns by Green Day. It's like a 4 minute song, but it feels like it's 25 because they hit the chorus like 9 times and you're like, all right, this is...
Green Day sucks.
Yeah. You know, it was, in 94 it was good times, but I don't know. They got self-righteous at a certain point.
Yes.
They quit talking about whacking off and got onto politics. I mean, I'm all right with bands being political, but let The Clash be political.
Yeah.
And now it's time for a generic wacky news story that all podcasts use. To kill time. Just fuck it.
And now moving on, Kira, you got something for us to talk about.
I have from the Daily Mail in the UK. A Russian man who tried to rob a hair salon ended up as the victim when the female shop owner overpowered him, tied him up naked, and then used him as a sex slave for 3 days.
Oh, so this is a Russian robber.
This has happened to someone else? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, this happened to you, Buck.
Victor Jasinski, 32, admitted to police that he had gone to the salon in Meshkovsk, Russia, with the intention of robbing it. But the tables were turned dramatically when he found himself overcome by owner Olga Zajak, my grandma's name, by the way, Olga, 28, who happened to be a black belt in karate.
Oh,
nice.
Shit.
She allegedly floored the would-be robber with a single kick. Then, in a scene reminiscent of Tarantino's Pulp Fiction, police say... Who wrote this article? Police say Zajak dragged the semi-conscious Jasinski to a back room of the salon and tied him up with a hairdryer cable.
Ooh.
Allegedly... It gets worse. She allegedly stripped him naked and, for the next 3 days, used him as a sex slave to, quote, teach him a lesson.
This is in the hair salon?
Force... Like- no. That's in the back room. Well, force feeding him Viagra to keep the lesson going.
Awesome.
This would-be robber was eventually released, with Zajak saying he had learned his lesson. Jasinski went straight to the police and told them of his backroom ordeal, saying that he had been held hostage, handcuffed naked to a radiator, and fed nothing but Viagra.
Ooh. Wait, why do you go to the... I was forced to be stuck in the... I was forced the Viagra pill... And I'm making big boner for days, and it's a...
Is your question, why is he going to the police?
Yes!
Yeah, what's the crime
What's
here?
So bad about
what's
that?
What's the crime is what I'm saying.
Because he's pouting. He had a bad time. Maybe she was bad at sex.
But he was trying to rob, so, you know, Kim Yang Kang. It kind of evens out, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm figuring...
Well, hold on. I'm not done. Wait, one more little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Just so we know the end of the story. Both have now been arrested. Yeah. When police arrived to question Zajak, she said, "What a bastard. Yes, we even had sex a couple of times, but I bought him new jeans, gave him food, and I even gave him 1,000 rubles when
what
he
you
left.
Want? Yeah, what you want?
She probably bought him new jeans because he probably ripped through them with all the Viagra he was taking.
This is a crazy story, but I bought him new jeans. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, though.
Gave him money?
Yeah.
Where is the sense of that? Go ahead.
He was trying to rob her and she gave him money.
Yeah, this makes no sense.
Well,
it seems like the Russians don't have a word for touche. Because I think at a certain point, you're just like, they give you the Viagra, you fuck for 3 days, you tried to rob her, and you're like, touche, very nice. Now I'm out. Very nice. Now I'm out.
Very nice.
And then you just bail on her, right? Like, you don't go to the cops after that. Like, what a pussy. Like, that's not a real criminal.
I see the jeans and money as payoff, you know? She was like, yeah, you did that to me. I did that to you. Yeah, there's some money. You know, I would take it as such. I would feel vindicated. You know, I'd be like, oh, okay, at least I got some money out of it too. You know,
that's why you
someone
came.
Wants me.
Someone raped me for 3 days, and then I got money out of it. That's a good weekend for me.
I do think that's an
and
interesting.
Jeans.
And that's probably the soundbite Todd's going to use at the beginning of the show.
Right.
Me getting raped for 3 days.
Yeah, right, probably. Yeah. And then I'll repeat it 5 times and put it backwards once.
Please do.
I think that's probably. A real violation of the old honor amongst thieves.
Mm.
You know, like some, I think sometimes even if you're robbing somebody, somebody's going to evict them, they throw it back at you. You have a look and you go, now we're good. I now respect you. I was going to violate you, but now we're cool.
Yeah.
And it also gives a new twist they always say a woman can't rape a man, but Viagra has really made it possible for a man to be raped.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, and not taken from behind by another man, but raped by a woman.
We know where you're going.
I'm thinking, Kira, next time you got a hot man, and maybe
rape
he's not...
Him?
Rape
him?
Well, maybe he's not into putting out. Just put a little blue pill in there.
Oh, good. We get our own roofies now. Actually, I'd have to slip 2 pills then.
Why is that?
Right? Isn't this like a rape situation that's happening?
Well, I'm thinking 1 pill probably gets a man up.
Yeah, two you
either
might.
Either way, this is not feasible or ever happening. See, this is the difference, I think, between guys and girls. Our guys are happy to go out with these absurd premises for a really long time. Like,
right.
Well, you could do this. Girls are sort of like that. This would never happen. What's the point of talking about this?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying.
No, go for
it's
it.
It's all fantasy.
the difference between a man and a woman.
Right. What's the deal?
What's the deal?
You know, you could possibly have a case of priapism, I imagine, if you take too much, where you have an erection lasting 4 hours or longer.
Wow. What's priapism?
He knew what it was called, but yeah, it says in those ads, you know, call the hospital if you have an erection for more than, I think, what, 3 or 4 hours?
Yeah, that's when it goes bad.
What happens? That's crazy. Well, it's just a lot of blood flowing down there for a long time.
Yeah, but what? I mean, then what happens?
It starts to hurt.
I would think, yeah.
Okay, so just
like
pain.
It would just be, isn't there, you know, some possible, like, it could explode or something? That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know the technical term.
Like, the whole thing could just blow up. Like, my dick blew up.
It's kind of boner explosion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I think that if you have, because sometimes, I haven't had this problem in the last 10 years, but you know, when you're like 15 and you're a guy, you could ostensibly have a boner that goes for like 6 hours. I mean, and if you're like, oh my God, it's starting to hurt. Like, just, you know what I'm saying? Buck, yeah?
Huh? Yeah. The 6 hour mark is probably the highlight for me, but no.
Well, I know what you're
talking, yes.
I mean, there's times when you're like, oh my God, just make it stop, you know, and it starts to feel distressed. It feels like...
usually I know what to do with those times, but all right, Todd. I don't know what you're doing. You're just letting it sit.
It's 10 pounds of boner in a 1 pound bag.
You got to just shake the hand sometimes.
Oh my God,
what's
happening?
You know, so... You know, maybe this guy does get used as a sex slave, and maybe that's kind of a best of all possible solutions. Because if she's a hairdresser, hairdressers tend to be a little bit better on the looking scale, unless she was Olga the trans. And then, because I'm figuring that's probably
is the depths of Russia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where this takes place.
Because I'm thinking, like, if you're a trans Russian man, say your name is Oscar, you're probably going to choose Olga or something close to that.
You had to bring Oscar up in this. Yeah, okay.
Speaking of trans.
Say it was Oscar.
Kira seems really nonplussed with the boner talk.
I just don't know what to do with it.
This is like Judy Blume right here. We're teaching you
this
something.
Is what, before I said I have a lot of female friends. I'm not around guys who sit around and talk about boners a lot. I just don't know how to contribute.
Show three. Come on. This is what happens on show three. Sometimes it gets a little...
I know. Dark.
A little cocky.
Confusing. Cocky.
We get a little hard up for content.
Okay, you guys are being pricks.
Nice. It's time for our listener mailbag. Your thoughts, your ideas, your criticism. Send them to show@faroutpodcast.com. Now, let's open your mail.
You can send your email into show@faroutpodcast.com. And first one is... And this is is to the show, so everybody respond. Dear Far Out Podcast.
Yes.
That was good. That was appropriate. I'm looking for some advice. Sioux Falls, the city I live in, is going through some growing pains. I'm seeing reports of murders, rapes, grand theft, embezzlement, gun and knife fights, and meth labs are being uncovered almost every day. And good job. Every day, two words, not one word. Yeah. Can you guys in L.A.? Take away our crystal meth so we can go back to being drunken white trash instead of tweaked out felony-inducing white trash. Oh. There should have been a hyphen between felony-inducing. But, felony-inducing white trash. Thanks for any help you can provide. Colin in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So can we take the crystal meth from Sioux Falls? I think that crystal meth is probably more of a there problem than a here problem. Here, the crime tends to be more of a crack heroin, more of like a cooler shit that jazz players do, which is an
meth
acceptable
is more
drug.
Inland Midwest drug. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You think of Northridge, places like that, not L.A.
Yeah, it's more of a Riverside.
Plus, I don't like how this guy's like demanding that we do drugs. He's just like, I want you guys to take our drugs. You know,
very confused with what.
Yes, Sioux Falls.
He wants
Colin.
The world.
Yeah. Well, I'd say this. I'd say, Colin, first of all, don't do crystal meth. Should you get asked by these people. And actually, we don't want the tweakers here either, because of all drug users, they're the shitty ones. Because, I mean, everybody has that friend who goes out to the club, does a little bit of blow, hands off a bindle to people, and everybody has a good time, right?
Sure.
Or there's like the pothead people, and these are all socially acceptable drug users.
Sure.
And I feel that LA has these people in spades. But the tweaked out guys usually can't afford the rent in LA, so
they'll steal your bike. right?
Yeah.
That's the main thing tweakers do, especially in San Pedro, where I come from. If you see a lot of bikes in someone's backyard, like that's a guaranteed sign they're
tweaking. That's the other thing that you can tell difference between somebody that's addicted to heroin and someone that's addicted to meth is, have you heard this one?
Mm-hmm.
Like a heroin addict will steal your wallet, but a meth addict will help you look for it. Will steal it and help you look for it.
right. Yeah, they move. They got a little bit of rocket fuel in them, the meth people. They don't stop. It's like you do heroin and then you just ball up in a corner. And then maybe you try to rob or prostitute yourself during the day, but during your high is not when you're the problem. It's when you're not high is the problem. Meth is the opposite. When you're high, it's the problem, not when you're not high.
Either way, we can't help you,
Colin. I'm sorry, Colin.
I'm not going to do drugs.
We'd like that.
You, Colin. Yeah.
Yeah. Buck is not going to do the drugs.
I just said no.
I'd say this. Sioux Falls sounds like a great place. Maybe come out to L.A. to avoid the tweakers.
You did that in quotations, too?
Yeah.
Air quotes, great place, yeah.
I don't know. It might be cool. Sometimes I think to myself, I'd like maybe a...
South Dakota?
That's
a good South Dakota accent. Right?
Nobody knows.
You guys have white people problems out
South
there.
South Dakota?
Too many white people together breeds a meth problem.
Hmm.
Here's what we can do. We're not going to accept your meth problem. But what we're going to do is maybe we can take a bus full of minorities and hipsters. And then we can start changing your problems to probably, I would rather be in a multi-ethnic fucked up culture than a just singular ethnic problem, you know?
Yeah.
Like if it was like the crack epidemic in LA in the late 80s over by the Coliseum and it was ruining my attempts to see a Raider game, that was a problem because it was a singular ethnic.
I feel like this is turning into a sports podcast now.
Could be. Or, you know, and then all white people together, all poor white people together is a problem. So what we can do is maybe we can dilute the whiteness.
No, I think that becomes dangerously close to a concentration camp outreach type situation. Let's just ship people out. That's your solution?
Only if it's on it. It's my final
solution. I was just going to say that. Good call, Todd.
What's
Todd's
that? What
final
is that?
Solution.
What are you quoting?
Oh, jeez.
I never know your
class.
References.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's geeky, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the Holocaust. Not that obscure. I'm not working.
Nothing no one's heard of before.
If I went Armenian genocide, I might be like working a little obscure, maybe working a little hipster.
I thought you said the Hollow Quest. Yeah. I thought you said like the name of a video game.
I swear, did you take ecstasy before this show? You were good the first two, and then something happened.
The Hollow Quest sounds like something that someone didn't quite achieve. Like, if Hitler would have fucked up, it would have been the Hollow Quest.
Yeah, well, he did. There you go.
He did.
Ancient Viking Egan.
Yeah. Oh, never mind.
Fuck it.
That was a hollow wish. Forget it.
Fuck it. We'll just invade Poland anyway. The Hollow Quest. But I'm sorry, Colin. I don't think we have a solution. But once again, thank you for listening. And thank you for sending in an email.
Just quit doing crack.
Yeah. Colin, have a beer. And thank you for enjoying the show. Email number 2 of 2. Once again, all real emails on the show. Hey, Todd.
Oh, addressed to you only.
That would be... I'm sorry.
I will not say
burn.
Hi.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Are any of these addressed... Hey, Buck. No?
What about Hey, Kira?
The one that said, Hey, Far Out Podcast was to both of you.
Jesus, thanks.
Hey, Todd. As a broadcasting student and a big fan of the show... That includes you guys.
And if he was in the office, he'd be the kiss ass. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I was wondering if you might could spend some time on the show, possibly. Whoa, there's a lot of hedging going on.
There we go.
Might could spend some time on the show, possibly, discussing how you got in the radio business and any other media fields you may have worked in. Mm. I would personally enjoy hearing about your experiences since I hope to one day be working in radio, TV, advertising, etc. As you might can tell, I'm still searching for exactly what I want to do with my life once I graduate, so I'm open to any advice you want to throw at me. Video editing, filmmaking, graphic design, radio are some of my biggest
interests. How about master
interests.
The English language? This guy sounds like an idiot. Sorry.
Wow, Buck.
I'm sorry.
It's because he didn't address it to Buck, too. Buck's got the claws out.
Well, to be fair... You're calling him an idiot because he's a big fan of the show. I would feel that would then reflect upon us. I would say, no, not a big idiot.
Not worried.
It would be cool to hear your views on route I should take. Thank you for making an awesome podcast that always keeps me laughing and thinking. Thinking. So he likes the serious shows we do. Chalk that one up to one.
Very good.
Thank you. And that's from Adam in Birmingham, Alabama.
Wow.
Listeners far and wide.
I know. We appeal. That. I mean, that's a nice thing. It's not just a bunch of fucking assholes listening to us. We have people in the Midwest, solid folk, people in Birmingham, Alabama.
Wait, Los Angeles knows we're just a bunch of fucking assholes?
Solid folk, good stock.
Birmingham, Alabama, progressive people.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've been there. I think that's where Space Camp is.
You've been to Space Camp?
Oh, yeah. What? 1 week in seventh grade.
Wow.
It was the whole class. I didn't have a choice.
That's the awesome. Whole class went to space
yeah,
camp?
Yeah, we had a class trip. It was a week in space camp in Alabama.
Shit is this?
That was like shit when I was a kid. That like, you get to go in an anti-gravity
yeah,
room?
That's unobtainable. Cool. That's unobtainable.
It was a private
here.
School.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
I know. It's nice.
Man, look at you.
I was no a wonder commander of a space shuttle.
No wonder she's thumbing her nose at the people who live in the Midwest and the South.
Right, exactly.
Unlike Buck and I, who accept and love these people.
I love them. I'm from the Midwest.
She said them. She said I love them.
Yep.
Well, I think you need a question
so,
to be answered here.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
I will tell you how I began my route. I will keep it quick. Sorry, Buck, you look like you're winding up to deliver something.
No, just Cliff Notes version.
All right, Cliff Notes version, or else we'll be here for the whole, this will be the whole show is me pontificating on my life. Basically, how I got into the broadcasting field was kind of a cool story. I was in college. First step, go to college. And then you can be an intern. You can be an intern pretty much wherever you want to go because you work for free and people take you in and then you get into an industry without having to know people or whatever. I was in college and I had one dream when I was in college and I said, I want to go into broadcasting and I want to work for 97.1 KLSX, SoCal's FM talk station because I used to listen to Howard Stern during the mornings and like Conway and Steckler. And it was Buck, you grew up kind of probably doing the same thing.
It's the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And
every
I said,
morning.
Yeah. And I said, like, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to do that. I want to make shows like that. I want to, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to do. So there was one day I was listening to the radio, and they said that the producer of the Conway and Steckler show, a guy named Malibu Dan, was going to be at Alan Ed's Auto Sound off of PCH in Long Beach.
Wow.
Did he go there?
And fate turned your way.
Passing out bumper stickers. And so I told this to the lady who's now my wife, and she was like, Todd, you got to go there. You got to go see if you can be an intern or get a phone number. And I was like, oh, because I have this horrible problem with asking people for anything. I don't like it. Yeah, you same way.
Yeah.
I feel weird. It's like, well, what does anybody want to give me? Blah, blah, blah. So she was like, we're driving to the fucking Allen Heads Auto Sound. You're going to talk to Malibu Dan. You're going to figure out how to be an intern. And so we drove to the Allen Heads Auto Sound, and I got, I talked to one of the bumper sticker passer out of guys, this guy named Pep, who became, I ended up becoming good friends with.
I'm sorry, this is the Cliff Notes version.
Yes.
Pep.
So
all right, here we go.
No, and I got the phone number of the radio station. He said, call this guy named Ron, and you'll get an internship. And I called a guy named Ron, and I got an internship. And then I worked there, and then I moved on to Arrow 93.1, which became Jack FM, and I worked there as an intern. And then I got back to passing out bumper stickers for KLSX FM talk station. And then I wormed my way into being full time there because the guy quit in the promotions office. And then one day I was in charge of writing a promotions letter that went out to the entire station. It was like lackey work. And then I wrote it really funny and I made it sound like the voice of the station. And then the guy was in charge of all the commercials and all the imaging of the station and the production work, read it. Because I didn't think anybody read it. And he went to my boss and goes, you're a good writer.
Oh, nice.
My boss was like, I don't write that shit. Todd writes it. And so then I ended up started writing stuff at the radio station. And then I kind of progressed my way. And then got called by a buddy named Mark to do a show in San Diego on air. And so then that's kind of how Cliff Notes, it worked. And I ended up getting on air. And then once I got on air, I said, you know, after 5 years of being at the radio station, I said, well, I don't want to make no money more in radio, so I'll take a job being a copywriter, writing advertising and online
big
stuff.
Bucks.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, I could just do radio on the weekends and then I'll work for this.
Wait, what was it? What was the turning point where you said I want to switch to copywriting and not work in radio anymore?
Yeah, but it was because I had my own weekend radio show in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Just doing talk radio. So I said, well, I don't want to be making no money during the week. And so the week I took the job actually making pretty good money, like doing writing, they canceled the radio show and the entire station in San Diego. So then I was out of the radio business, and this was after being it for like 5 years. So it was interesting.
So how long was that show in San Diego? Because that I see is like your zenith.
Kind of.
You had your
there.
You had your own show. You know, it was your show.
Yeah, it was me and Mark.
You guys were doing your thing out there, and you probably loved it. It was for the love. I mean, you were commuting from here to San Diego, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty ridiculous.
Drive 2.5 hours
that's,
there.
That's like 2.5 hours. So
do 2 hours from 5 to 7, you
loved,
7 to 9.
You loved what you were doing.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, being on the radio, talking to thousands of people, getting calls, like all that. That
was paid. That was like no longer.
But see, that's the thing. I've done, you know, offshoots of doing this radio thing a bunch of parts of my life. My grandpa got me into ham radio when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's like I just like doing this type of stuff. But the one thing that I've realized about it is that I love it because I've never gotten paid to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's never been somewhere I got paid to do. I just love doing it. So
getting paid to do it, you'll love it even more. I imagine.
Again, Todd, I'm like number two here. I think the number one usually kicks down money to number two. I don't know how that works. How much?
All right. I'm giving it all to Kira. But
yay!
So I had many years. I mean, I could sit and do 9 hours talking about the joy of working at Callous X and working with Corolla and all that cool shit. But that was kind of how I did that. And then I worked in an internet company for a while. And then, funny enough, I got a job back in advertising, writing for these guys that used to run the Howard Stern radio network that worked with me at the radio station. And so now I write lots of radio ads now. But it's kind of funny. It's kind of full circle. But I would say this. I would say get an internship and go to school, get an internship where you want to work and try to work your way up, kiss some ass, bust your ass, and do good. And you'll end up doing what you love in your life.
Because when you are that age, that's the time to do internships and shit like that, where you won't get paid, but you'll get experience. You'll do that shit.
So. Right, and I mean, some
people see it as a weakness. So, like, I'm not going to work for free. You know, I'm not going to do stuff for free. But you can't take that attitude. South Dakota, wherever the fuck you are.
No, bring him in.
Bring him in Alabama.
I will say one thing just in the beginning, and then we'll move off this. It was when the first couple of days I worked at 97.1 as an intern, and I was sitting there working for the program director, a guy named Jack, and it was so funny. There ended up being a fight on the air on a show called Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Frank left the show, and I sat with Frank while he left the show, and it being one of the most popular shows they ever did. And I was there for the entire argument because the whole station was gone on like a meeting. And so I got to sit and engage and that at that point with Frank as he walked off the show, and there's a big fight, and there's all this radio drama. Mm-hmm. And I sat there with Frank, and Frank looked at me and goes, "Right now, people aren't getting out of their cars. Because this fight's going on. People are staying in their cars listening to this show." Right now, he goes, "This is the best radio in the world." And at that moment, I was like, I'm hooked, please. I got to be in this business or whatever. And then this translated into me doing podcasts and all that. So that was it. And thank you very much, Adam, in Birmingham, Alabama.
South Dakota.
So for Kira Hesser and Buck Perez.
Oh, thank you.
This is the Far Out Podcast. We'll talk to you guys soon.